So first of all, yeshiva to everybody that the Elam should sit and learn for it's called the Tzufis. 6 hours of Tzufis is a tremendous accomplishment. You should be very proud of your accomplishment. There is something called the Paro syndrome. Paro syndrome is that the Paro took Kleisel and he worked them very hard and he showed them what they could accomplish and he said, now that you've done it once, you have to do it every day. So, Rabbi, now that you've done it once, okay, you can fill in the blank. All joking aside, it is something that a person should take a lesson from. You look what you can accomplish when you set your mind to it. It's something you can accomplish. It is doable. It's not beyond your ability to do it. And it's there are many glass ceilings which we put in our lives, and really the reality they're not true. The reality is we can do a lot more than we think we can. We just create an atmosphere which allows us to not be scared to try, and we're able to try and we're able to do that. The godless of Adam is that we can accomplish way beyond what we believe, what we thought we could accomplish. I want to touch on a little bit just the idea of this connection to the parshas of Shavuvim. It's referred to as Shavuvim, Shavim Tat. It's Rosh Tevis for the parshias of Shmois, Ve'erebo, V'shalach, Yisra, Mishpatim. That's what Shavuvim stands for, if you haven't figured that out by now. And there's something unique about these parshias that we're as it were wrapping up our learning. We're doing something special, the different projects which they have in the world in honor of the Shavuot period. And what is so significant about the Shavuot period that we do this? Why specifically now? Most obvious answer is these are our parshas. This is the foundation of Yiddishkeit. This is Yetzias Mitzrayim. This is Kabbalah Satorah. And if you look at the parshas, if you look at Shemois is the process where Gula is brought to Klal Yisrael. The message of Gula is brought to Klal Yisrael. The Makis Ve'era Boy, the actual Yetzias and Bo, Kriyas Yamsuf and Mashalach, Matan Torah and Yisrael, and then there's Mishpatim. So Mishpatim sort of is this interesting addendum at the end of the conversation. We sort of relate to, yes, if we Matan Torah is Parshas Yisroi, and that's unique. That's Klal Yisrael stands on Matan Torah. Yetzias Mitzrayim is the Parshias before that. Klal Yisrael stands on Yetzias Mitzrayim. Parshas Mishpatim is an interesting, fascinating parsha. Why doesn't this process end with Shavuot? Why do we say Shavuot? Why do we Shavuot? Why Parshas Mishpatim? So Parshas Mishpatim is the first time that Klal Yisrael is learning Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu was told, Rashi said, give it to them as a Shulchan Aruch, give it to them in a very clear way. They should be able to learn Torah. It's not enough to just sort of give it in a superficial way. Make sure it's given over in a way which is clear, and they're going to absorb these lessons. Not teach it once or twice, Rashi says, but multiple times till it goes in. So here's the first time where Klal Yisrael is taking the lessons that they've had, which are these unique and extraordinary lessons about Yetzias Mitzrayim, Matan Torah, and they're applying it to everyday life. A person learns Baba Kama, and he learns Mitzvah Kavala Baraya. Mitzvah Kavala Baraya does not sound like this. The skies have opened up, and all of a sudden we see the heavenly hand, and the God is there. We sort of relate. You talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim, and you're inspired. You talk about Matan Torah, and you're inspired. You talk about Mitzvah Kavala Baraya, you're not inspired. Like, why is that the word of God? Like, you know, yeah, this is your Abbas Hashem, and you learn Chesed Zabat. You know, right? There's a Muslim Chesed Gimel Shanim. It just doesn't seem to be so exciting. Yeah, it's interesting. If those of you have an intellectual bend, you enjoy the exciting love of the Shishtikal Torah. It's like, you know, some people enjoy math. Some people enjoy chess, or, you know, it's like, Gemara, you know, fascinating Gemara, the sword back and forth. That's what Torah is. It's that's all it is. Rabbi Ruchman says a fascinating thing. Let's go back to Matzah Mechala Baraya, which, if you think about it, that's really the foundation. A lot of Chesed Gimel Shanim is applying the concept of Matzah Mechala Baraya to Karka. What defines that they get a Muxah by Karka? So what's fascinating about Matzah Mechala Baraya? Why is that true? Why is that true? How many of you, my Baba Kama, next who finished Baba Kama, remember, of course, what's the source for Matzah Mechala Baraya? Anybody? Oh, my became over here finished Baba Kama? Swara. The more it says it's Swara. The more it tries to pause it, the more it says who? Karl Amali? Swara who? It's such a compelling concept that it's a svara. This is means we're saying that human beings with their logic can understand what the Russian wants. Awesome. Take it a step further. But what is the assignment? Why is it a mitzvah l'maraya? So Ruchim says, because we see from here that bialis is important. The Torah gives a recognition to the concept of bialis. Okay, why does the Torah give a recognition to the concept of bialis? It's not enough to know what, but why? He says, because you don't own something, you can't give. And the whole purpose of the whole Bria is to be a giver. If I have nothing to give, what am I supposed to give? He says, and that was the reason why communism is going to fall, he said, because they took away all ownership. So Mitzvah L'maraya is a window into the Bresham's, how he runs the world. He made a world which we have responsibilities and we have opportunities and we can do something with it. That's Mishnah of the Kazakh, Mitzvah L'maraya. So Mishpatim is when you take these lofty concepts and you put it into every daily life. The responsibility to an abbot. He's your abbot, do whatever you want with him. No, shepherdish. You're mazik somebody else. It's also your mazik. Be careful. It's everyday life, how you're dealing with the person next to you, where Torah is going to become real. So Shoivavi is not going to get the message across. Shoivavi is when you get the message across. When you learn your Gemara Baba Basra, you need to hit the hair, you're talking to the Dvar Hashem. These parshiyos that are mesugal, that a person who has been compromised in any way in ideas of tzniyus and grappling with issues of tzniyus, these parshiyos are the parshiyos where a person can come to a tikkun and correct that. But we see that specifically we address that correction by making Torah real in our lives. So the Milo Ritzufis is that person can connect the Torah in such a significant way. I can sit and connect the Russian Torah for 6 hours straight. The real meaning, by the way, Rabbi Say, which there's by some of the Chassidish yeshivas that during Shavuot they have 2 6-hour storms every day for 6 weeks straight. Right? By the end of the six weeks, you're a different person. You're a different person. You've connected to the Torah in a significant way. That you see, you can't do that. I can't do that. I did it once. It's very hard. Before you did it the one time, you didn't believe you could do that either. But imagine that a person for 6 weeks straight, every day, would do this. I want to tell you just a quick story. When I was in Cleveland, there was a chasna. And the Zayda of the Chosin came for the Chosin. The Zayda of the Chosin was Ramosha Feinstein's first cousin. He looked like Ramosha. I remember when he walked into Beis Medrash, the first time he walked in, I started trembling because it looked like Ramosha walked into Beis Medrash. Ramosha had already been nifter at that point in time. So I was what's happening, you know? He learned by Rabbaron Kotler in yeshiva in Kletsk, in Europe in Kletsk. He learned by Rabbaron in Kletsk. So one morning I walked him home after davening. I said, the person who learned by Rabbaron in Kletsk, I need to have an opportunity to talk to him a little bit. I asked him, tell me about learning in Kletsk. Describe it. She says, you know, Shacharis was 7:30 in the morning. So I'll tell you the Seder Yom of Kletsk. Shacharis is 7:30 in the morning, which was considered late in Europe. Nobody davened at 7:30. People davened much earlier, especially in the summer. Sunrise was 3 something in the morning. So 7:30 is very late. They davened at 7:30. They had breakfast. The first Seder started at 9 o'clock till 3. First Seder was from 9 till 3. They davened Mincha. Then they had the main meal of the day was Fleishig. That was after Mincha. Second Seder started at 4. You daven mincha, you ate your meal, and you started. You went to second seder. There's no taking a nap. There's no, you know, whatever, hanging out from 4 till 10. The second seder. Then Marv was at 10 o'clock. And they had supper, and then the night seder was 11 o'clock. So, and then says Reb Aaron was in yeshiva every single night to 1-2 in the morning, and the average. So it says what was Musser? Musser was from 9:30 till 10 was Musser. Because when Rav Aaron said shir, then the first seder. In those days, the second seder they would chazer over the shir. Says, excuse me, Elul. Like, what do you do different than Elul? Like, I mean, like after that, like, what do you add on to that? I mean, like, what do you add on to that seder ayart? Says we daven a little more hislavis during Elul. Like, you know, but you're right. What else do you add? So saying, I realized that at that moment, you know, a person learns 6 hours every morning, 6 hours every afternoon, and you learn night seder. Of course he's going to come a Talmud Chacham. You see much you can accomplish in 6 hours without interruption. Two of those every single day for 5 years straight, you're going to come a Talmud Chacham. So I have no questions anymore how these people became the Gdolim that they became. You know, you hear these stories that they finished, you know, three, you know, I had a Maisa once. I was with Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, and Rabbi Yaakov told us that when he came to Slobodka, so he's very proud of himself, he came to Slobodka, that he came Sukkot time, we went on Pesach time, first Seder they learned from Baba Basra, from the base of Samachvav. That was first Seder. They finished 65 blat first Seder over the winter in Baba Basra. Right? How many blat do you guys do over the winter? Don't ask. Anyway, yeah, okay. Right? So he's very proud of himself. You know, he came because, you know, 65 blat first Seder. He comes home back to Minsk. He's from Minsk. He walks into the city of Minsk and he comes home. And there's this old Yid over there who sees him come back. He says, no, the conversation was in Yiddish. He says, come over here, tell me what did you learn this month? He says, I learned from my base, with some love for Seder. This person learned in Volozhin. He says, in Volozhin in the winter, the Bachan would finish Baba Kama, Baba Metziah, and the Metziah would finish all three Babas in a winter. They'd go through all three Babas Be'ion in one winter. Baba Kama, Baba Metziah, Baba Basra, in one winter. That was the Metziah of Volozhin. So 65 blat for Seder. I said, it's nothing. Right? We're not holding there, but you understand, if a person learns 6 hours a day straight, the two storm a day, you could start contemplating such ideas. How much a person could absorb a Torah? I'm not advocating that. But I will end with just one thought. This type of is a fascinating consideration. Okay, a person's post high school, he doesn't have any other obligations at this point in his life. He says, person sleeps 8 hours. Sleeps 8 hours. So he has how many hours left after 8 hours? He has 16 hours left in the day. He davening between Shacharis, Mincha, Maariv, benching, about 2 hours of his day. Okay? 2 hours a day he takes for meals and relaxing a little bit, etc. How much time he has left? He still has 12 hours left to learn. You do the math. You slept 8 hours, you relax a little bit, you had 2 hours to relax every day. Right? You still can learn 12 hours a day. The person puts in a good 4 or 5 hour plus first Seder, a good 4 hour plus second Seder, and a good 3 or 4 hours of the night Seder, and he still can sleep 12 hours a day. It's 8 hours a day. He says the goal over here is not to keep crazy hours. He says a person can mamash take care of all of his needs, relaxed, have time to chill out, etc., and still put in 12 hours a day of learning. He says that's what it means to be a masmid. It doesn't mean you're driving yourself on sugar. It says that a person can accomplish tremendous amounts. A person would put in 12 hours a day for a year, 2 years, 3 years of real learning. You'd be kind of good chalakim or shas. And that's something which we want to do. We want to be able to say, you know, we asked Rashid, like, when are we going to finish shas? He says, you learn, you'll finish shas. I said, you got to learn. Right? And that's our dream. We should not finish shas. So that, you know, you can finish shas with Afyami, you know, in 7.5 years. That's not the goal. The goal is to know shas, to learn shas. You ask the average Afyami, not everybody, Baruch Hashem, but, you know, the people I have chaberim that they learn Afyami, they spend 3.5 hours of the day learning Afyami every day. So you learn like that, 3.5 hours a day, Afyami, you're probably going to know shas. Know it. But an hour a day Afyami thing is not called learning shas. It's called, you know, it's watching it go by on a video screen, you know. Fly by, you know. But the person should know a good chelik of shas, they should know it well, is a person can do it. If he can convey himself to learn tremendous amount of time. So, okay, so just to recap our points over here. The first point over here is that you see what a person can accomplish. Second point is that specifically the goal over here is dafka shreva vim, not shreva vim. Torah is only, you only credit Torah, and has a message for us that we can translate into the practical elements of our lives, which with dafka, these mesechtas, the babas, are those mesechtas which do that the best. We see that the hanhag is b'don l'chaveh, right? There's real halachas about it, there's real responsibilities about it, it's something real. And the idea of the Ritzufis is that a person should get absorbed into his learning, and you see that the more absorbed you are, the more you can actually absorb of your Torah. And it starts going in, and the person starts building that, so the person can see, I've done this once, the reason why I can't do something, I'm not going to do 6 hours, so I'll do 4 hours, I'll do 3 hours. But a person sits down with 3 hours later, he learns straight without half-sick. It's a tremendous thing. You start absorbing real amounts of Torah. And if you do your math, the last point was, you do the math of the stipler, a person does not have to live in a mashugan way to have a lot of hours in his day to be able to learn. Okay, everybody, so Yeshua Koyach.